The world wants to make us into containers, but Jesus makes us into a fountain. And to explain what I mean by that, I wonder if this has ever happened to you, that you go to a party or an event or maybe here at church and you meet someone and they tell you their name, and half an hour later, you can remember all sorts of things about them. You can remember what they were wearing. You can remember their profession. You can remember how they are related to your aunt's friend's fiance. But you can't for the life of you remember their name. There's a reason for this. And the reason is that names don't actually tell us anything about someone. They are a sound that we are taught to associate with an individual, but all those other things, what they're wearing, their profession, how they're related to you, those are categories. They're labels, they are containers in which you can put your information and assumptions about this person. There's a saying in Spanish, el agua es la vida, that water is life. And because in Latin America, it's hot, and they know you need water to stay alive. But on the flip side, you can think of life being like water. And to hold water in this life, you need a container to put it in. And those containers, for many of us, are labels and categories. Today in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman, and she is never given a name. But she is given three labels. And each one of those labels becomes a category, a container into which we are to put our assumptions about this woman and our expectations about how Jesus will relate to her. So the first label she has is that she is a Samaritan. Now, it says that Jews share nothing in common with Samaritans, but that's not entirely true, because 1,000 years before Jesus, Samaritans and Jews shared everything in common. They used to be one nation and one people. Together, they were the 12 tribes of Israel, ruled under one king. But after King Solomon, the next king, his son, decided to jack up tax rates on everybody, and the people living in the north said, "We don't want any part of that," and they rebelled and broke away. And I got a map here, in which you can see the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Israel broke off, or the southern kingdom called Judah broke off. Jews are from the southern kingdom of Judah. Samaritans are from the northern kingdom of Israel, because the capital of that northern kingdom was Samaria. But from that political division, centuries over centuries compounded. And so these people who used to worship the same God and had the first same five books of the Bible came to have deep religious and cultural differences from one another, to the point where in Jesus's day, Jews thought of Samaritans as Gentiles who were impure, and no, they would not share a cup of water with them because that would make them ritually unclean. When we hear that this woman is a Samaritan, we have a container for her. And that container is that Jesus, as a Jew, should have nothing to do with her. The next category that we hear is she is a woman. And in the ancient world, like today, water is life. But today, we turn a spigot and water comes out of our faucet. In the ancient world, Someone had to go and get water from a well or a stream or a spring. And more often than not, these sources of water were outside of the city. That way, all the daily life in the city wouldn't pollute the water source, which means someone has to go and get that water. And in the ancient Near East, that someone was a woman. Now, if you had a lot of money, that woman might be a servant or a slave. But for most people, it was the mother or the wife, maybe the daughter of the family. It was some woman whose job it was to be a literal container to carry water back to the household. When we hear that this person is labeled as a woman, that is a container in which we put the expectation that she is there at that well to provide water for everyone else. And the third label we get is that she is there at that well at noon. Now, carrying water is hard work. Water is heavy. If you've ever tried to carry a 5-gallon bucket, you know it's not easy. And Israel is largely a desert, and so women would go and gather water at the earliest hours of the day to beat the heat. And because they would all do it at the same time, it would become a social event, a time to share stories and check in on one another. It was also a way for women to keep each other safe, because once again, they are outside of their city, and who knows what could be out there. And so if they all go together, they are safer. But this woman isn't there in the early hours of the day when all the other women go. She is there at noon. And this becomes a container in which people love to put assumptions about her. Why is she there at noon instead of with all the other women? Maybe the other women don't like her. We'll find out a little bit about her marital history in a moment. And people say, well, maybe it's because she's had so many husbands or she's not currently married. The other women, they don't like her. But here's the thing. That woman could be there at noon for all sorts of reasons. Maybe she realized she needed more water for her family and had to go back. Maybe she knocked over her bucket and it spilled everywhere, and so she needed to make a return trip. Maybe she wasn't feeling well and she just got up late. Because the truth is, these categories that we create, they don't always hold water. Now, when I go to a party or on vacation and I meet people who I don't know, I often avoid as long as possible telling them my profession. Because as soon as I tell people that I'm a pastor, they have labeled me. They create a category for me. It is a container in which they put all kinds of assumptions about what a pastor is like, and I don't often appreciate those assumptions. And my bet is each one of you has had labels or categories placed on you. Placed on you because of your heritage, or your gender, or your profession, or maybe something that has happened in your past. And my bet is each and every one of you have felt that frustration of being reduced to a category instead of being seen as an individual for who you truly are. Well, Jesus, he doesn't play that game. Every single one of those categories, Jesus comes and he shatters. To this Samaritan, with whom Jews are supposed to have nothing in common, Jesus asks the Samaritan woman, please give me a drink. She's shocked by this. But to that second category, of her being a woman who is supposed to provide water for others, Jesus said, if you knew who was asking you, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. Jesus offers water to the woman. And when she gets excited, well, first she says, wait a minute, Jesus, you don't have a bucket. How in the world are you going to get me water? And he says, the water I give becomes a spring of living water gushing up to eternal life. Woman says, well, that sounds pretty great, because then I wouldn't have to come constantly back here. Give me that water. He says, well, okay, fetch your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And here is where Jesus shatters the third category, which is that of our assumptions. We can come up with all kinds of reasons why she is there at noon, but what Jesus says is simply the facts of her life, that she has had 5 husbands. And the man she is with now is not her husband. Now, Jesus doesn't say this as judgment. He doesn't say this to shame her. He simply says it to tell her that he knows who she is. And in response to this Jewish man who is willing to shatter all cultural expectations, to this stranger who can name facts about this woman's life that no stranger has any right to know, the woman says, you must be a prophet. But when having a conversation with a prophet, this woman could have said, well, tell me my future if you know everything. Or maybe she could have felt compelled to say, oh, you're a religious leader. Let me justify my past. But she does neither of those two things. Instead, what this woman does is ask a profound theological question. She says, we Samaritans say we should worship God here in this mountain in northern Israel, But you Jews say you should worship God in Jerusalem, down south. Which is it? And in asking this question, it's like the woman is pushing back on Jesus, because Jesus has just said all these categories of male and female, Samaritan and Jew, they don't matter. Not to me. And the woman is saying in response, well, that's good for you, Jesus, but they actually do matter to me. Because at the end of the day, I am still a woman. I am still expected to fetch water. At the end of the day, I am still a Samaritan, and you are a Jew. And yes, our people's history may be ancient, but it still matters now. I have a map of Israel in Jesus' day. And the purple part there is Samaria, where the Samaritans live. And the green parts are where Jews live, down in Judea, by Jerusalem. But in Jesus' day, the Jewish community had formed a large settlement up north in the Sea of Galilee. And what that would mean is for Jews to go worship in Jerusalem, a straight line would have them cut straight through Samaria. But Jews didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. And so what Jews would do would be to walk dozens of miles on foot, days of their lives. They would go and walk over to the River Jordan, cross down to Jericho, and then walk up mountains to Jerusalem. Or some of them would go the opposite direction to the coast and walk all the way down the coast and then cut back into Jerusalem. The Samaritan woman knows that the divisions and categories of Jews and Gentiles are very real in her world. That people will do everything to avoid her. And even the Jews that cut through Samaria, it's not like they're going to come into her town and patronize an inn, stay for the night, and have a meal. No, they're going to sleep outside if they have to. And if they see her as a Samaritan woman come down the road, they're going to cross to the other side of the street. Categories matter to us. Even if we think they don't really exist, they have real effects in this world. Look, I am the only male in my household. I love hanging out with the girls, but at some point I want to recognize that there is something different about me, that I am a man, and at some point I want to hang out with other men. I try to avoid telling new people I am a pastor, but I have found if I go too long without telling people what I do for work, it feels like there is a part of me that is suffocating. Because while I may not only be a pastor, I cannot separate the fact that I am a pastor from who I am as a person. And I have spoken to many people with a skin tone that is darker than mine, and while they say they are frustrated time and time again that they are treated differently because of the color of their skin, these same people will say it annoys them when people claim that race doesn't matter, because in their daily experience, race matters a whole lot. To pretend these categories aren't real is a denial of reality. And so this woman says to Jesus, well, what about the fact that Jews and Samaritans don't get along? And Jesus' response is interesting. He says, you know what? You Samaritans worship what you don't know. And we Jews, we worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. And what he's saying is, yes, these categories are real. They have effects in this world. And in fact, the Jews have a closer connection to God's salvation history than the Samaritans. But then he goes on to say, and yet the day is coming and is here now when those who worship in truth will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Instead, they will worship in spirit and in truth, because the Father desires such as these. What Jesus is saying is, yes, the categories do matter in this world. The categories affect people's lives every single day, but there is something deeper and more profound in each and every person than just those categories, and that is what God is truly interested in. Look, the fact that I am a man, it matters. It matters to me. The fact that I am an American, it matters to me. The fact that I am a pastor matters deeply. But when I come and worship God, It is not my masculinity that worships God. It is not my citizenship that worships God. It is not my profession that worships God. It is my soul that exists much more deeply than any of those things that worships God, that has a relationship with the divine, and it is my soul that will last forever in God's kingdom. And so when the woman hears this, when the woman hears Jesus name the truth that the categories do matter, and yet there is something deeper and more profound in her than those categories, the woman says, I know when the Messiah comes, who is called Christ in Greek, he will tell us all things, just as Jesus has told her all things about herself. And Jesus' response is to say, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Except in the original Greek, it doesn't actually say, I am he. It just says, I am. When Moses meets God in the burning bush, Moses asks God, who are you? What is your name? So that I can tell other people who has given me the message that you have given me. And God says, I am who I am. Because God cannot be contained. God doesn't fit into a category or a label. God is beyond any human limitation, even being limited by a name. And yet this God, who is the source and ground of all being, who is beyond all limitation, this God is speaking to this woman in the form of a Jewish man who is a rabbi. Now, the fact that God comes among us as a human being with categories doesn't mean that these categories are meant to be containers for us to put all our assumptions about who God is, right? God didn't come to us as a Jewish man who was a rabbi so that we could say, well, God is whatever our assumptions about Judaism is. God is whatever our assumption about men is. God is whatever our assumptions about rabbis or religious leaders are. No. God is the vast aquifer of living water that exists beyond our ability to see or comprehend. God is universal and eternal, and yet that vast eternal and universal reservoir must come to us at a specific time and place in history and culture. And to do that, that reservoir needs pipes. It needs fissures in the rocks so that it can come forth at a specific place. The categories that Jesus has, they're not meant to be containers to limit. They are meant to be pipes through which God can flow to reach us where we are in that moment. The woman noted, Jesus, you don't have a bucket. And Jesus says, I don't need one. I am a spring of living water gushing forth to eternal life. His categories don't confine. They elevate. And when the woman receives this water from Jesus, the water of life, not limited by categories, but empowered and elevated and given direction through those categories, she is transformed. The disciples show up, but the woman goes back to her city. And when she goes back to her city, it says she leaves her jar of water. She leaves her water jar, that water jar with which she collected water for 6 different men in her life. She leaves behind that water jar with which she carried water in the heat of the day. She leaves behind that jar with which she held the water of life. Because the woman is no longer a container. She is a fountain. A spring of living water gushing forth to eternal life, because she is no longer limited by her categories. She has been given direction and power through them. Those categories? Samaritan, woman, and at noon, they become the means through which she will do ministry. As a Samaritan, she can reach people that Jesus, as the Jew, can never hope to reach. She goes back to her city and has connections with the people who live there. And as a woman, it is her job to bring people water, and so she is going to make it her job to bring people the water of life that is Jesus. And as a woman who is willing to work at noon, it means that she is willing to stand alone and bear whatever heat comes her way. She is able to do through those categories what no one else can do. She becomes the first evangelist in the gospel, a messenger of the good news. She becomes the apostle to the Samaritans. She gives them living water, which blows their mind. And when the people of the city experience it, experience the water of life coming to them through this woman who has categories, but though they don't limit her anymore, they empower her. The people of the city want to experience it themselves. And so the whole city, including the men, go in the heat of the day to seek that water for themselves so that they too might become fountains. Friends, each of you has labels. Each of you are put into categories and to containers. In Christ, no one else gets to decide what those containers mean for you. Because in Christ, God is using each of those categories, each of those labels, to do through you what no one else can do. For the universal, eternal God needs to reach people at a specific place and time, and only you can reach those people. Friends, your heritage, your gender, your profession and your past, they are pipes through which the Spirit is flowing to get to the people God needs to nourish. And when God comes at the end of your life, when Jesus calls you home, he will call you home by name, because he will know the fullness of who you are and what you have done for God. God has given you the water of life. Don't let this world tell you that you are a container, for Christ has made you a fountain, a spring of living water gushing forth to eternal life, through which the Spirit flows for the sake of this world. May you pour out God's love abundantly. Amen.